Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Up next, my buddy Lance Taylor will join us. But in the meantime, let's dive right into several different stories that are out there that everybody's talking about. First, the Falcons. They only win when you don't actually want them to win. The Falcons were in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, and we'll get to that in a minute. But instead of actually losing and continuing to tank and go into 1-7, the Falcons go on the road and they beat the Carolina Panthers 25-17. Matt Ryan and company find a way to get the win. What does this mean in a larger context? Well, to me, what it means is pretty straightforward. What it means is the NFC South is 1,000,000,000% down to who's going to be better, the 43-year-old quarterback in Tom Brady or the 41-year-old quarterback in Drew Brees. Everybody else in the NFC South, not that they were really in the mix to begin with, but this loss for Carolina effectively kicks them to the curb. They're now sitting at 3-5. I know it's a little bit unfortunate that they lost Christian McCaffrey and that McCaffrey didn't get a lot of rhythm going with Teddy Bridgewater, who came in this year, and Matt Rhule and Joe Brady and everybody else with the Carolina Panthers. But the big takeaway is that now the Carolina Panthers are out of the mix, and now Atlanta has suddenly tried to get out of the mix on the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, and we're down to a battle of 40-somethings in the NFC South, Brees versus Brady. And I like Brady's positioning here quite a bit better than I do Brees' positioning, especially in the short term, because Brady's going on the road against the Giants. There's no way the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are losing on Monday night to the Giants. Meanwhile, the Saints, with all of their Michael Thomas-related issues, it appears that Michael Thomas will be good to go. The Saints are going on the road against the Bears, who are angry about their performance and the beatdown that they took in their most recent game against the Rams. The lesson that we take away from the start of NFL Week 8 is the Atlanta Falcons and Atlanta area sports teams in general only win big games when everybody in Atlanta wishes they would lose big games. And so the Falcons sitting at 2-6, the Falcons, the Panthers sitting at 3-5, not a lot of big takeaway there in terms of what it means at this point going forward in the NFL. However, going forward in the NFL even farther, the presumption is that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the overall number one pick in the NFL. And if that is true, there will be a lot of teams jockeying for the right to be able to draft him. And if you listen to this show regularly, you know that I argued the Dallas Cowboys should be in the mix. Also, potentially, that maybe the Atlanta Falcons could have been in the mix. Maybe they crossed themselves off that list. There are a lot of bad football teams that are trying to come up with reasons why Trevor Lawrence to them makes the most sense. And in the short term here, late last night, Clemson officially announced that Trevor Lawrence had tested positive for COVID. Now, I already had my picks up on OutKick, and every now and then you get a benefit of a line move that's going to be in your favor. And so I had already bet on Boston College plus 31. And now Trevor Lawrence is not going to play. Now, I know there's people out there that are going to try to act like this is a huge story. Based on all the data so far, Trevor Lawrence will be 100% fine. And really what the biggest takeaway is, when he comes back, there will be absolutely no issues whatsoever with him and his health for the playoff. So right now, if you're sketching out the college football future, what you would say is that it feels very likely that Alabama, Clemson are in the college football playoff, that Ohio State would be there maybe if the Big Ten can avoid having to cancel every game on their schedule, and that Oklahoma State, who plays against Texas, or Texas A&M, who plays against Arkansas, maybe would be in the next best spots to potentially advance to the college football playoff. Now, Georgia and Florida fans are saying, wait a minute, what about us? Georgia plays against Kentucky. Florida plays against Missouri. They're going to play in the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville next week. Whoever wins that game will be a substantial favorite to advance and play against Alabama. I just don't see the Crimson Tide losing to either Georgia or Florida. They've already beaten Georgia. I think they would beat Florida as well. And so I understand the hope that one of you guys might be able to make the college football playoff, but I don't see it as very likely. Here's the big story with Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence projected to be the overall number one pick in college football. He and Travis Etienne, quarterback running back combo, better than most quarterback running back combos in the NFL. And so as you look forward, the big question that is out there is, will Trevor Lawrence be back? Not for this weekend against Boston College. He's clearly out. Will he be back for the game against Notre Dame next week in South Bend? 8 days from now. Seems to be some early signs that the date that he got his positive test might allow him to return against Notre Dame. Either way, even if Clemson were to lose to Notre Dame, they would theoretically get a rematch in the ACC championship game, which means that Clemson would be able to erase that loss. But my bet for you, if I had to bet, I would bet that the way the dates work out, suddenly, miraculously, oh my goodness, can you believe it? My bet would be that Trevor Lawrence would be just able to come back in time to play against Notre Dame. And in fact, based on the data that's out there right now about Clemson and when Trevor Lawrence actually tested positive, lo and behold, he would be able to be back and good to go against Notre Dame. Now, the larger context is here, we're overrating positive tests. Positive tests are not, standing alone, dangerous for otherwise healthy people. In fact, college football and NFL players have had virtually zero issues even if they tested positive for COVID. I hope that remains the case. By the time we come back on Monday, we will be into the month of November, and there will still not have been any substantial major issues with COVID from college football or NFL players. Doesn't mean that somebody might not have an issue going forward, but does mean that it's likely to be relatively insignificant. So I wish Trevor Lawrence well, but if you are a huge Clemson fan, one of the things you are thinking, I'm guaranteeing you, is, well, I don't ever want anybody to test positive, but if you are going to test positive, I'd prefer you do it way before the playoff. And this is what I keep hitting you with in the NFL. Guys, can you imagine if we had a Super Bowl, for instance, between the Kansas City Chiefs, who I think are the best in the AFC, and between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I think are the best in the NFC, and both of these guys tested positive a couple of days before the Super Bowl, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, do you really think we need a Chad Henne quarterbacking for the Kansas City Chiefs, going up head-to-head against Blaine Gabbert, quarterbacking for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Of course not. We want the best players on the field And I think that's ultimately what will end up happening in college football. Trevor Lawrence is going to be fine no matter what.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
We bring in a guy who a lot of times joins us in the first hour of the program. Instead, he's joining us the third today, Lance Taylor at the Lance Taylor. My man, LT, what would you say as we come up on the halfway point of the SEC season? I can't get over the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12, and how much of a better job they did handling their seasons than the Big 10 has.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any arguing about it. I mean, the Big 10, I mean, we get 1 week and we've already got a disaster situation with Wisconsin. And then Nebraska finds a way to play a game against UC Chattanooga and they won't allow them to play a game. I don't know what's going on. I mean, it seems behind the scenes away from, you know, head coaches, ADs, and players that nobody in the Big Ten wants these guys to play.
Yeah, it's wild. I don't understand it at all either. But the way they set it up, they had no margin for error, and yet they've now found themselves in a situation where there's obviously a ton of issues. And if I'm an Ohio State fan, and obviously Ohio State appears to be the best team in the Big Ten, I'm more concerned about the COVID impact of games getting canceled than I am almost the games on the schedule.
Yeah, you know, you brought this up the other night. We had a little Q&A with you at an event, and you know, we were talking about the Big Ten, and you said if in fact Ohio State gets by Penn State, which most people, based on Penn State, Indiana, expect Ohio State to win that game. They're a healthy 12.5 point favorite. Their biggest fear is COVID, whether it impacts their team or one of their opponents, because at the end of the year, if you've got a 4-0 or a 5-0 Ohio State based on this ridiculous 21-day protocol for the Big Ten, and you match that up against, let's just say, a 9-1 Georgia, realistically, which one of those teams is a committee member going to take? I mean, it's just such a small sample size, even if Ohio State dominates in those five or six games.
Yeah, it is pretty unbelievable to think about the decision that the College Football Playoff Committee is probably going to have. I don't think anybody is making the argument, hey, you know what, the Pac-12 has a real chance to make the playoff. They're starting late, but the Pac-12 hasn't typically been in the playoff anyway, to be honest, and certainly they don't have a team that is as highly regarded as Ohio State is. And so the whole thing is just kind of an unprecedented mess. You talked about the event that we did on, what was that, Tuesday night?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Wednesday night? I can't even remember what night it was. But that was really cool. You emceed an event for a huge collection of Alabama fans, boosters, I think. What was the scenario there?
Yeah, so it's called the Red Elephant Club, and they've got chapters really all over, I think, the Southeast. But this was, I think, the biggest chapter. It was based here in Birmingham, and you know, it was about 200 members came out, and we were at a local brewery who had, you know, this huge LED screen, and we were able to get you from your home and studio there in Nashville, and I was able to moderate it on the stage and kind of throw questions to you, and then we threw some from the audience to you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. I thought the interesting thing, and I told this story at lunch yesterday, the biggest applause, and this just shows you the passion of different fan bases, was when you told the story of your son, who is now an Alabama fan.
Yeah, it's
so
tough,
out of all of the great stories that were told and some of the incredible answers to some of the questions, the one story that my son has become an Alabama fan drew the loudest applause.
Some people out there are going to hear this and they're going to be like, oh my God, there were 200 people there. Like, it seems to me, and I don't know if you're kind of seeing this in your own life down in Birmingham, but sports fans, to me, seem to be kind of leading the charge back out of the, you know, basements in terms of a lot of sports fans are over trying to cringe and hide from COVID.
Man, I am. So one of the reasons that I almost had to get out of that event was I'm a lifelong Dodger guy, much like Danny G.
Yeah, and you were afraid that Game 7 might be going on.
Yeah, and well, I mean, it was in the midst of Game 6, but because
the
Dodgers took the 3-2 lead going into Game 6, I knew they couldn't be eliminated, and I knew just based on math I was only going to miss two innings of that game. But, you know, when I get home and I settle in and the Dodgers take the lead and they ultimately win, and, you know, Justin Turner disappears.
Yes.
And I really didn't initially think COVID. And then right after the broadcast or right after the Dodgers clinched the World Series championship, they come on and they said, breaking news. Justin Turner. It's confirmed he's COVID positive. Well, a couple of things went through my mind. He played the first seven innings. I don't know why they actually bring this up in the middle of the game and they pull him away.
Yeah.
But then when he comes back out to celebrate with his teammates all seem comfortable with this.
Yeah,
and they also realized, you know what? We've been with this guy not only all day and all night, but, you know, for the last couple of weeks. And I just think it's amazing that Major League Baseball is now going to punish and probably fine. And who knows, he might miss games for the 2021 season based on the fact that he wanted to come out and take some pictures with his team, an organization that he's been with for years. And without Justin Turner and what he did in this postseason, not only offensively but defensively, they don't win a championship. And I just think it's so over the top. And you made another point the other night that it's amazing that we're making such a big deal and we're having to test people and find out they're positive when they don't even have any symptoms and they're not sick.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. And I know you and I are on the same side of this, and there's so many people that are against us, and they think that it is so wrong what we promote and what we stand for and what we believe in. But I just don't get it, man. I just don't. And, you know, hopefully this will change really soon. A lot of people think it'll change next week. Who knows?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who think it's going to change next week, regardless of what happens, because no longer election season. But that ultimately, how much of a big deal could it have been for Major League Baseball? I know you're a Dodger fan, and that's why I wanted to have you on in the third hour of the program today to partly talk Dodgers, because there's still a lot of people reveling in that win. Can you imagine the mess Major League Baseball would have found themselves in if Turner tests positive and the Dodgers lose that game? If Blake Snell doesn't get pulled and we've got game seven, there's no way they could have played it as scheduled. They might have to sit out for a week or 10 days to wait to play it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he was coming up, so he gets pulled. I think it was top half of the seventh, and he's up to bat in the bottom half of the seventh. And if Kevin Cash would have done what I believe Kevin Cash should have done, and I'm glad he didn't, was leave Blake Snell in, you know, every single pitch, obviously every at-bat was so important because the Dodgers were just trying to find out a way to scratch out one run against him. And let's say that the Rays hold on and it goes to a game seven and Justin Turner is not available, and you've got Charlie Morton on the hill who has been lights out in closeout situations for the Rays and for the Astros back in his Astros days. Yeah, that could ultimately cost the Dodgers the series. And a guy that didn't even realize, a guy that says he feels completely fine. Just a weird situation, man. I don't get it. I hate it for a lot of different people and a lot of organizations. I mean, Wisconsin, Greg Mertz, you know, he comes out, he plays on Friday night against Illinois. He looks like the best quarterback, I don't know about you, the best quarterback I've ever seen since Russell Wilson at Wisconsin.
Yep.
And now the guy, I mean, hell, I don't know if we'll see him again this season. And now Wisconsin can't even play this weekend.
Yeah, and not only that, like we said earlier, the Big Ten not allowing Nebraska to make up a game against Chattanooga, even though Chattanooga was willing to play. We're talking to Lance Taylor.
Oh, and by the way, and there's no positive test with Chattanooga. There's no positive test with Nebraska. Why in the hell can't they play a game?
Yeah, especially because we've yet to see an instance of the virus transmitting during the course of a game, right? Like, no opponents in any sports that I'm aware of, has there been any sort of evidence of that occurring at all. When we're talking to Lance Taylor at the Lance Taylor on Twitter. LT, when you look at the we're talking about all the different games that are taking place and all the different protocols that are in place. I keep circling back around to the question of Major League Baseball deserves some credit for managing to finish their year, right? Because when the Miami Marlins started, everybody and had their issue, and then the St. Louis Cardinals, everybody on Twitter was like, oh my God, what was baseball thinking playing outside of the bubble? I know the Justin Turner news kind of overshadowed it a bit, but it's kind of impressive that Major League Baseball managed to get their season done, isn't it? I know everybody wants to rip Rob Manfred, but it seems like he did a pretty good job.
I agree. You know, early on, I mean, it was, you know, minute by minute whether or not they were going to cancel this season. And a lot of people speculated, hey, look, this thing is done with what the Marlins have done. And a lot of people thought it was careless behavior, however, whoever contracted it and spread it throughout that clubhouse. But you got to give Manfred a ton of credit because then it was just clean. I know the Cardinals had their incident, but outside of that, you know, in that 60-day sprint and through the postseason up until the Turner situation, which really was right at the finish line, they were able to navigate this thing. So, yeah, I give Manfred a ton of credit because if baseball goes down early, I think there's a domino effect, Clay. I really do. You know, the NBA was one thing because it was truly in a bubble. But when you looked at Major League Baseball and the Marlins were in Atlanta when that went down, you know, I think, you know, the NFL was going to do whatever they could to play this season. But college football, who knows? You know, there's a good chance they look at it and say, hey, Major League Baseball couldn't play this off. They couldn't travel. They couldn't keep people healthy. We're not going to be able to pull this off as well.
Another thing on the Dodgers, Mookie Betts is just an unbelievably talented baseball player. Is the Red Sox being unable to get him signed to a long-term deal one of the all-time Major League Baseball fails that you can remember? Because it's not as if the Red Sox are a cash-strapped organization. The fact that they couldn't get that guy signed with his overall talent, both in the field, at the plate, the fact that he may not have even peaked yet and can continue to get better potentially, I mean, that's insanity, right?
It makes zero sense. He had already won an MVP. He had already won a championship. He's a guy that can play multiple positions. He's a true five-tool guy. You saw what his defense did in the NLCS against the Braves. That
unfortunately,
was the difference
yes.
in that series. Yeah, unfortunately for you and your family. But like Randy Arozarena, this is a guy, I got to be honest with you, I'm a baseball guy, but I really didn't know who he was until this postseason started to roll. You understand that one day he's not going to be a Ray. They can't afford him. They just can't. That's a cash strap market. The Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees, the Los Angeles Dodgers, those are teams when they have the right players, like Corey Seager will be coming up free agency at the end of next year. The Dodgers will re-sign him. They don't care what they're paying the collection of guys, you know, ultimately Walker Buehler, a guy that played at Vanderbilt, you know, Cody Bellinger, Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, they're going to pay all these guys. And the Boston Red Sox have got the resources to do the exact same thing. So that made zero sense to me. But as a Dodger fan, I absolutely loved it because I knew he wouldn't miss a beat. And he's a guy that, you know, some people have said the LeBron James of Major League Baseball. I kind of agree, man. You saw what he was not only able to do defensively in this postseason, what he was able to do on the base pads, his ability to run. I mean, he's an incredible player, and he enjoys playing the game. I cannot believe they got rid of a player like him.
What do you think as we sort of pivot back to the NFL, which is obviously going on this weekend, but it's also connected to college football, and you watch Tua play a lot down at Alabama during his career. What are reasonable expectations for Tua going up against the Rams this weekend?
Well, you know, my first thing when, you know, watching Tua for years in Tuscaloosa, he is a generational talent. I think he's a special player, but he could never stay upright for a full 12 regular season games at Alabama. My biggest fear when he went to the NFL, can he stay healthy? I know they protect quarterbacks, you know, but you start to look around at what rookie quarterbacks have done in the NFL. Joe Burrow has been great with not a ton of talent around him. Justin Herbert has really surprised me with the Chargers. These are guys that are putting up historic numbers, at least for rookie quarterbacks. So I fully expect with a really good head coach and Brian Flores coming off a bye, that Tua is going to play well. Unfortunately, it's against my Rams. Now, a little stat for you. Rookie quarterbacks are 0-6 against the Rams since 2013. And Aaron Donald has had a ton of success, 5.5 sacks in his last five games against rookie quarterbacks. So probably not the ideal defense for Tua to be going against. But I fully expect if he stays upright, Tua's going to have a lot of success as well. He's such an accurate guy, loves to play the game. And when you looked at those three quarterbacks, I know Burrow had the historic season last year with LSU, but pure talent-wise, I would have said Tua was the best of the three coming out.
We're talking to Lance Taylor. All right, the other biggest game, I would say, in the NFL by far is the Steelers on the road against the Ravens, Big Ben versus Lamar Jackson. AFC North matchup that is massively important. What happens? Who wins? Why?
Well, you know, Lamar Jackson hasn't been good against Pittsburgh. I think he had three interceptions and was sacked five times, both career highs in his only matchup against Pittsburgh. But Baltimore coming off a bye, we know this, being huge NFL guys and watching for years and years and years. I had the Steelers against your Titans. I know you love Guskowski. Great kick there to end that game.
Absolutely
that
blew
comeback.
It.
Teams don't stay undefeated in the NFL. That arguably is the toughest division in football. I think it's right behind the NFC West right now. The AFC North is. I think the Steelers are going to lose this game. I think it's a trendy plus 3.5. I think the public is grabbing the underdog here who is undefeated. I think Baltimore wins the game. I think Lamar Jackson has a big game. Look, they're going to be able to run the football on anyone. And the Steelers, I think they have a little bit of a letdown here. So I kind of like Baltimore in this spot. That is going to be a tremendous game, though.
What about any other games that stand out to you? The Patriots have a chance to prove that they're not awful, which is a crazy thing to say. And the Bills, even bigger, have a chance to take complete command in the AFC East. What happens in that game?
Well, Cam's been awful. I mean, a slightly over a 15 total QBR in his last three starts. You know, they've got the fewest touchdown passes, 3 in the NFL. They've got the most interceptions, 11 in the NFL. They've got their first three-game losing streak since 2002. And I think an interesting thing to look at, Clay, Bill Belichick, greatest NFL coach we've ever seen. And we always wondered, is it more Brady or is it more Belichick? Well, yeah. Right now there are people out there, and I'm not necessarily one of them, because I think the NFC's got a lot of really good teams. They don't have any great teams. But you can make the argument that Tampa Bay is the best team in the NFC. So right now Tom Brady is rolling along, coming off 4 total touchdowns this past week against Vegas. And on the other side, Patriots are going in the wrong direction. They're not going to make the postseason, in my opinion. Tampa could end up being the number one seed. And we're talking about coaches, you know, as they age. You know, I understand a coach when he hits 80 maybe loses his fastball, but that's not Belichick right now. A 42-year-old quarterback should be losing his fastball. So if you want to go back to that universal debate on, you know, was it Brady, was it Belichick, I think you got to lean it was Tom Brady right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely – I've always been asking who was solving, you know, who'd win the divorce. Right now, Brady is dominating in that post-divorce life. There's no doubt at all about it. LT, I appreciate the time, my man. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, enjoy the week.
Oh, by the way, are you coming to the Halloween party?
I don't think I'm going to make it, man. I want to. I've got a kid situation, and I don't think my costume would be extravagant enough. I can't wait to see the pictures, and I can't wait. I know you have not let Cat out of the bag, what you and Laura are going to go as, but I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, we should have a good crowd later tonight for the party. This is the third big Halloween party that my wife has thrown, so I just show up, but she's got a lot of details involved, so I'm looking forward to it. All right, well, I'll talk to you next week.
I hate to miss it, man. Okay, talk soon.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are rolling, absolutely rolling through the program, and I'm going to be honest with you, our picks have been absolutely on fire. On fire in the NFL. Earlier in hour one, I pointed out we've been very bad in college football so far this year, but the OutKick six-pack of picks have been absolutely white hot, all right? And so I want to continue that run. We are 25-12. I gave you 7 picks last week, a Baker's half dozen plus 1. This week, I have got 6 more winners for you. All right, here we go. 25-12 so far on the season. Can we keep the momentum going? Fingers crossed. Here we go. The Bills are at home against the Patriots. I've got 2 bets for this game. I love the Bills -4. I think the Bills come out and dominate with a chance to finally take control of the AFC East and exorcise the demons of Tom Brady. He is no longer there. Cam Newton, 3 picks, under 100 yards passing last week. I simply do not believe that the New England Patriots are very good. I think they could find themselves, believe it or not, in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes before all is said and done. The Bills take a commanding lead in the AFC East. They cover. I also think the under hits in this game. The under continuing to go down right now around 42. I've got the under and I've got the Bills -4. Double bets for you in Orchard Park as the Bills try to take command of the AFC East. And by the way, I can hear people in New York all sitting around, Bills fans, long suffering. They haven't won a playoff game since 1995. And they are like, Clay Travis, do not jinx us. This is finally our time to beat Tom Brady's team. Even with Tom Brady not there, we can beat Bill Belichick. Don't jinx us. I'm telling you, I love this game. The Bills -4. And if you're a moneyline parlay player, that is if you just pick winners, I like the Bills to find a win here. And you can pair them with somebody else. But I've got a -4 and the under 42. How about the Raiders? On the road against the Cleveland Browns, best record for the Browns at this point in the season since 1994. the Raiders coming off of a tough loss against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But remember, the Raiders were good enough to go on the road and dominate against the Kansas City Chiefs. Odell Beckham Jr. out for a substantial period of time. I think that the Raiders are going to go on the road. I don't just think they're going to cover. I think they're going to win. But you get them right now, plus 3 points on the road against the Cleveland Browns. It is, my friends, an absolute steal. How about the Lions going up against the Colts? The Colts traveling to Detroit. The Lions, believe it or not, seem to feel like they have a chance to make the playoffs in the expanded playoff universe that is the NFC and the AFC. They made a move to go get Everson Griffin, try to improve their overall pass rush. Matthew Stafford, big drive down the stretch against Atlanta. I think there's good mojo there. We're starting to see Swift play pretty well out of the backfield for the Lions and Matthew Stafford. I think the Lions beat the Colts outright, but right now you get the Lions plus the 3 points. The Rams on the road against the Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa's new debut. I love Tua. I talked about the fact that he was great meeting my son, how much I like his family. Here's the problem. The Rams have one of the best defenses in the NFL. Sean McVay is rolling right now. They play in the toughest and best division in the NFL, and I think they take that cross-country flight and absolutely dominate against the Dolphins. Cover the 3.5-point line. I have got the Rams on the road winning by 4 or more against the Miami Dolphins. And then my final pick is the Saints on the road minus 4.5 at the Bears. I think the Bears are the most fraudulent team in the entirety of the NFL right now. I know they're sitting at 5-2, but I told you to bet against them in that game against the Rams. Big win for us there. I think that the Saints, even with all the drama going on with Michael Thomas, I think they travel up to Chicago, take control of that game, send a signal that they are a legitimate contender still in the NFC South, and get a big win on the road against the Bears. Give me the Saints minus the 4.5. All right, I always get tweets, DMs, messages like, oh, I was driving in the car and I couldn't hear your picks. They'll be up on OutKick. You can go watch them on video, my Periscope, my Facebook show, YouTube. You can search them out and get all the picks, but I'm going to run through them one more time here for you as these are my gifts to the people. We are now basically to Halloween. Happy Halloween to everybody out there. It is the eve. It is the eve of Halloween. We are almost to November. It's time for me to start calling myself Santa Clay come next week because we'll be into November. And Santa Clay has been giving out gifts. And my gifts to you one more time. The Bills minus 4 versus the Patriots, the under 42. The Raiders plus 3 versus the Cleveland Browns. The Lions plus 3 versus the Indianapolis Colts. The Rams minus 3.5 at Miami. And the Saints minus 4.5 at the Bears. Encourage all of you. Get your bets in. Go sign up. FanDuel.com/Clay. That's my name, C-L-A-Y. They'll hook you up with the right offer there. FanDuel.com/Clay. All right, I want to thank you guys for another fantastic week. Encourage you to go download the podcast. We had a loaded show. Jason Whitlock swung by to hang out with us in the second hour of the program on Friday this week instead of Tuesday because we've been so busy with work. In the first hour of the program, we talked with J-Mart, who was a former producer on this show. He's hanging out with us. And then we just got through talking with LA Dodgers superfan Lance Taylor on the program. I appreciate all of you for hanging out with us. I am Clay Travis. This has been OutKick the Coverage. Go download the podcast. Thanks for all the support. Dub, who ordinarily weighs in, if you're out there like, wait a minute, I want to hear what Dub thinks. Dub, who ordinarily weighs in on all of our gambling picks, he is actually right now down in New Orleans for a bachelor party. He may still be out on Bourbon Street. I don't know what the rules are about how late you can stay out down there. So he'll have to get his gambling picks in Sunday when he gets back to the great city of Nashville, where it will officially be legal now to gamble all over in the state of Tennessee. Get your picks in as well at FanDuel.com/Clay. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back, same bat time, same bat channel, Monday morning. This has been Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.